Welcome, patrons, to our review of X-Men The Last Stand.
A major pharmaceutical company has developed a way to suppress the mutant X gene permanently. They're calling it a cure.
There's nothing to cure. Nothing's wrong with any of us, for that matter.
You of all people know how fast the weather can change.
Did you find what you were looking for?
The source of the cure is a mutant.
More powerful than you.
Jean.
Something woke her, but she has to be controlled.
You know, sometimes when you cage the beast, I can't do this. The beast gets angry.
So, X-Men The Last Stand, released in 2006, starring, here we go, Hugh Jackman, Halle Berry, Ian McKellen, Patrick Stewart, Famke Janssen, Anna Paquin, Kelsey Grammer, James Marsden, Rebecca Romijn, Vinnie Jones, Ellen Page, Ben Foster, who I completely forgot was in this film.
Yeah, me too.
It young. Was, young bloke.
I mean, it was a while ago now, this movie.
It was. Directed by, well, why don't we just get into that for quickly, shall we?
Another piece of shit.
Yes, exactly. So Bryan Singer was actually in the middle of this three-movie deal with 20th Century Fox, beginning with X2, and he was keen to make X-Men
beginning
3.
Beginning with X2.
Yeah, beginning with X2. So he had
didn't
a three-movie
begin
deal.
With X-Men 1?
No, he was beginning to do a deal after X-Men. After he did that, like, all right, we'll get you on for a three-movie deal. Now that
so
X-Men
to do was X-Men 2, 3, and 4?
Some sort of movie
okay.
after X-Men 3.
Yep.
But they weren't able to come to terms because during this time, Warner Brothers had offered him a chance to direct Superman Returns, but he had to do it straight away.
Yep.
So he went and did that. He said he's going to go take this opportunity, but he'd still like to come back for X-Men 3. You know, that's okay. Fox said, no, you can go get stuffed. We'll cancel the deal. You're done. So they moved on. Hugh Jackman actually recommended Darren Aronofsky to replace him since he just did The Fountain with him.
That would have been better.
Better than who we got?
Brett Ratner.
Brett Ratner. Well, actually, before Brett Ratner, they had Michael Vaughn. And he was ready to go. Like I think he was the one that signed on Kelsey Grammer and Vinnie Jones, I believe. And then he had to step out for personal reasons.
Okay.
And yeah, they got Brett Ratner.
Who is this guy?
Rush Hour. Apparently he got signed on mostly for the fact that he's able to churn out good movies, like high sales movies quickly, a la Rush Hour. So they got him on and I don't know, It had a budget of $210 million. That was the biggest budget at the time of any movie ever.
What?
Yes.
Really?
Obviously been beaten since then, but...
Oh, obviously.
Yeah. Biggest expensive film to date at that point.
Wow.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think that looking at this film.
Well, you think about 2006 and it's very, very CGI heavy, lots of big special effects. I'm pretty sure that's where most of the money would have gone to. And the all-star cast,
and
of
the cast. Yeah. The cast would be expensive.
But this did gross $234 million in America. It was the fourth highest for the year. And it grossed $459 million worldwide and was the seventh highest for the year.
I mean, so obviously it's a success.
Well, I did.
But they say the amount they would have spent on marketing this film would be enormous. Like you say the budget was 210. If it only made 400,
yeah,
that's not great.
Might have made a little bit of money back. Probably why they
rebooted it.
Yeah.
Oh, did they?
Not straight away.
X-Men Origins Wolverine was next. Is that... That's in canon. That's like a prequel for Wolverine.
Well, I did read that after the trilogy, they were planned to wrap up this trilogy and then go away from all the X-Men characters they've done and just do the origin stories from there. So this was the idea to do straight after this. I don't know. I can't remember if Wolverine was a success in terms of money. Certainly not... Quality-wise.
Critically successful.
That's the one. Yeah. So we obviously have Kelsey Grammer here who plays Beast. He was so keen to play this role that he actually did an audition. First time he's had to audition for anything in...
Since Cheers.
Basically, over 20 years. Yeah. So, yeah, good on him. He did say that this is like the best role of his career.
What?
His favorite. I'll say his favorite. His favorite role of his career.
Wow.
He even came back to do a small little cameo in Days of Future Past.
Did he?
Yeah, very
TV
brief.
Or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Huh, that's interesting. I mean, how could he say that?
Maybe he was a big X-Men fan when he was growing up.
Do you reckon he did his own stunts?
A lot of them did in this movie.
Do you reckon Kelsey Grammer did his own stunts?
Sure. Why not?
I don't know. Bill Fraser is extremely agile. When he's flipping around, I'm like, yeah, is that you, Kelsey? I don't know. Could be.
Who knows? And pretty much what we said in the last X-Men movie here, Halle Berry was not going to come back as Storm in this one yet again.
How come?
She said there was no character development in the last two installments. She had a tense relationship with Bryan Singer, as most people do. But after Singer left, and the fact that she got a big box office bomb with Catwoman, she agreed to come back on the condition that her role was expanded. So since Cyclops and Professor X were removed from this movie, you know, what, 20 minutes into it and you know, halfway through it, she did get a bigger role in this film, basically becoming the leader of the X-Men. And it shows she is in this a lot more than the last two movies.
Oh, easily. Yeah. And, she wasn't as annoying for me in this film.
Yeah, she was better.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad you think so, because I was sort of watching, I'm like, she's not grating like she was in the others.
What about Famke Janssen? How is she in this one?
Terrible. She is. I never realized. She is like the worst thing about this trilogy.
Did you know that she actually went and researched dissociative identity disorders and split personalities so that she could convey the difference between Jean Grey and the Phoenix?
She just looks blankly off in the distance 90% of the time. It's like, come on. You're the fucking Phoenix. Do something.
What do you want her to do?
Anything. Like, she just plays bloody second fiddle to Magneto the whole time. Why?
I don't know. I don't know the lore of X-Men. I don't know about the Dark Phoenix saga.
I mean, it's portrayed so differently in this movie than it was portrayed in comics and the cartoons.
Yeah, well,
like, the Dark Phoenix is like a extraterrestrial life force.
Okay.
It's not like just this subconscious thing that Professor X has been
hiding, you know, away,
pushing
like,
down.
Yeah, locked away in the mind.
Such bullshit.
And this film has an average rating of 6.7 over 445,000 ratings.
Higher than I expected.
What do you think it was going to go for, a 6?
Yeah, maybe a 6, high 5.
I wouldn't say high fives.
It is regarded very, very poorly. I thought...
A 5, any movie that hits the 5s, it's really, really bad. I could have seen this go for maybe a 6.5 or something. That's where it starts to get...
Big stretch there, Hendo.
Yeah. I know. Okay, Dean, let's get into it. An hour and 44. I can take that for an X-Men film.
Much better.
Oh, yeah. That's the first thing I saw.
Easier to digest, an hour 44.
Because I was looking at this, I'm like, if this is over 2 hours, this movie, I'm going to spit chips. But we go to 20 years earlier. And I tell you what, they've come a long way in de-aging technology.
It's just the technology is just nowhere near as impressive as the MCU stuff we're getting these days. Like this, and the problem is, Patrick Stewart looks the same 20 years ago as he does now.
But he still looks weird in it.
Oh, he looks smooth. They've just smoothed everything on his face.
It's like they put the Instagram filter on him.
Like, what are you doing?
And Ian McKellen, I looked at him
he doesn't look too different. They just look like they dyed his hair black and his eyebrows black.
It's like they've got this, like, the skin coloured pastel and, like, coloured in the wrinkles.
Yeah.
Actually, do you know how they did that back then?
No.
It was called digital skin grafting, where they would actually get old photos of them and use this complex keyframing to basically graft that photo onto them. Bizarre. Really weird.
Terrible. I don't know. This whole Jean Grey as a kid, I didn't like it.
Well, I mean, they have to use it to set up that this is why she's become who she is, because, you know, Professor X has locked this Dark Phoenix away inside her mind. And it has to be there because they got to go back to the house later on for the big scene.
Why, though? Explain to me why Jean Grey would go back to her childhood house then. Makes no sense. The whole thing is, like, this Phoenix character is taken over. Why would it go back home?
Well, isn't that the last thing that she would remember? She's at the house. He locks the mind. Comes back. That's where she remembers.
What's there for her?
She doesn't know. She's going to go back and check it out.
What's the point? That's the problem I have with this Phoenix. There's no motivation. What is the point of the Phoenix in this movie?
I don't know.
Like, no, I mean, like, the character of Phoenix, what is she thinking?
I don't know. I got to tell you, there's a lot of weird filler things throughout this film. There is so much going on in this film. I agree. Like, I think they should have taken out a bunch of this other small little things and had a bit more of character development for this Dark Phoenix. You're like, exactly what you said. Why is she doing this? A bit more about her.
Yeah, she has no personality. Like, I know Famke struggles in general with personality, but there's no, like, she's playing the Dark Phoenix and she has nothing to her. There's no menace or power. She just stands there and stares at everyone.
She can evaporate and disintegrate people with a look.
She can do literally anything, is what they say in this movie. Yeah. Her powers are anything. And it's like, okay, so what is she going to use them to do? Stand next to Magneto and fucking Pyro.
Pyro?
Pyro. Why couldn't they have shot Pyro with the cure and left Mystique?
Oh, this guy.
He's terrible.
But you need him there to have his big face off with Bobby.
Oh, yeah, the scene where you can see where Harry Potter got their inspiration for all their wand battles.
I got to tell you, one of the big problems with this film is there's so many different mutants in this film that are just there just to show, like, oh, these are the powers we can show you. I don't care about 50% or more of these mutants. Get rid of them.
Like who?
Hedgehog guy.
Yeah. I don't even know his real name.
He is a waste of space.
It's like the hugger or something.
His big movies. He hugs a woman and bang, some spikes. Oh, you're so menacing.
The chick from 24.
Yeah, that's right. That's how I know her from.
Man, that voice is so distinct, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
What about McDreamy? Surely he was worth
it. Oh, yeah. There you go.
Multiple
man.
What is the point of this guy? Use it like once.
Yeah, absolutely.
Once in the forest. Like, oh, we've got them all cornered.
Yeah. And that's what most of these mutants are. They're used for one-time thing, yet they're in separate other scenes that don't need to be there.
Hmm.
I was watching, I'm like, I don't care about you. Why am I watching you? I do literally give zero fucks about you. Get off my screen. And even this part where we have the young angel cutting off his wings. I'm like,
Here is a subplot that didn't need to happen. You know the problem with this movie? They've incorporated two huge storylines into this 1-hour, 40-minute movie. So you've got the whole Dark Phoenix saga and you've got the Cure.
Yeah.
They should have been separate movies.
Yeah.
They should have fleshed out these things properly and had it done right. But instead, you just cram these two huge storylines in just together and you get this stupid Angel. Like, don't get me wrong. It's nice seeing a character like Angel, who is a big X-Men character. Do you know anything about Angel?
No.
Have you ever heard of Archangel?
No.
Okay. Well, basically, I mean, Angel's are like a founding member of the X-Men. Apocalypse comes, makes him one of his four horsemen. He's got a great story, Angel, and they waste him here.
Like, I completely agree. They basically boil him down to his troubled relationship with his father for like four scenes. And what's the last thing? Like, is the last thing he saves him from falling off the building? Do we see him again after that?
I feel like we see him flying overhead in one of the very last shots. Before we see Magneto playing chess at the end, I think we see Angel fly over the bridge.
But there's not even a resolution to their story.
There is.
What is it?
Angel saves the dad. So, my God. Like,
the dad's like mutants forever. Like,
he's on board. Thumbs up to mutants. Thank God he wasn't cured or else he'd be dead. That's his story arc.
Oh, man. That is a waste. Tick. That was a waste.
Well done, Ratner. You piece of shit.
Oh, but we can't go anywhere without talking about the weird CGI credits.
They're just.
Just stop them. Is this the last one?
I don't know. I think I saw Wolverine at the cinemas and never saw it again, so I have no idea what that is like.
Hopefully they've deviated from that by that point.
I feel like it's going to be really bad, though.
What, the credits or the movie?
The movie.
Oh, I know it's going to be bad.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Anyway, what else we got?
We're into the not-too-distant future, apparently.
Oh, we've got this really...
The Terminator
style. I know, isn't it? Yeah. Isn't it Terminator-esque? I was like, this Danger Room is just like Terminator.
But yeah, this... Oh, here's another stupid subplot.
The romantic...
Bobby and Kitty. Yeah. And again, Rogue. How wasted is she in this film?
I mean...
As usual, she was like that in the second one, I'm pretty sure.
But she can't do anything.
Yeah.
She has no powers.
Just like, you're
they
exactly
used
right.
her powers as much as they could in the first one. They can't do that story again.
Yeah.
Like, Rogue is meant to be able to fly, super strength,
she
cool
can't
accent.
Touch anyone. She can't do anything.
She can't do anything.
They've definitely, like, handcuffed her. They should have, like, killed her. Killed her off in the second one. You don't need her anymore.
Kill her in the first one. How good would that have been at
that
the
end? That would have been good.
If she died.
Yeah.
Nice.
But I don't think they wanted to get rid of the Rogue character, knowing that there could be more with those powers. But they just realize, oh shit, we actually don't have anything else we can do for her.
Exactly.
So they shoehorn in this new romantic lead with Kitty Pryde, Ellen Page.
Yes.
And she becomes a big prominent person in this film. She's all over this.
I mean, she's one of the main six. Yeah.
Yeah, but she hasn't been in the. She's barely been in the other two. Not as Ellen Page. The character was in the other two.
Yeah.
But Ellen Page comes in, and she's not a big name at this point.
She's about to be.
She was in Hard Candy before this.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't seen that.
I haven't either. But I know that's where Ratner saw her and liked it. That being said, that movie is a bit, isn't it about like capturing a child or something for weird reasons?
Yeah.
I can understand why he liked that.
Yo, shots fired.
Fucking Ratner. Oh, but here's your favorite character, mate. Cyclops.
I mean,
having a sook.
This is his best movie.
He's in it for 4 minutes, 4.5 minutes or something.
He's got a really good line, though.
He spends half of it crying.
Not everyone heals as fast as you, Logan. That was good.
Yeah, okay. Is his one line out of every line he said in every movie.
I'll take it. He goes to the water and, dead.
That's it. And that's so bizarre as well. Like, that's all you see of that. You don't see him die. You don't see anybody. You don't see them looking for him.
No, you see
him.
The glasses.
Ooh, he must have died then.
Yes.
You could have seen something.
Because you know how when Phoenix disintegrates everyone, how they're... their clothes and glasses are never affected. So
yeah, exactly.
Makes sense.
I did read that his contract, like his time to his schedule was limited as well because he was also on Superman Returns. So all these people are buggering off to different superhero movies. Yeah, but I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I wish there was more of some closure for Cyclops. Like,
who cares?
Just see him disappear. See him die. Just, you don't have to leave this ambiguity. Like,
I don't think it's ambiguous.
You don't see a body.
You think he's alive?
I know he's not, but at that point you're like, oh, where's he gone? Is he high? Has she done something to him? Is she like, is he in her and he's going to come out? Is she put him in a different dimension or some bullshit?
Kill him. I remember when this came out and I saw it. I was very, very surprised at how willing they were to kill people. And
It's the end of this trilogy. They weren't going to do another one. They were closing this chapter off for X-Men.
Were they though?
They were. This was the end of the trilogy. They were starting fresh with origin stories after this. So they were very willing to kill people. And then subtly hint at the end they're not.
So you saw the after credits scene?
Absolutely.
What? I mean, let's just talk about that now.
Yeah.
That is a terrible, terrible scene.
I mean, that is bizarre. Like, this is back when you're not expecting end credits. So you could very easily just think, yeah, Professor X is dead. Go and see First Class or whatever's up next. And it's like, hey, oh, Days of Future Past. Like, hang on.
Yeah.
Pretty sure he died.
Yeah, no.
And even when because I know Days of Future Past and I know that Magneto has his powers. So when he gets the needles, yeah, in the future, when he gets the needles, I'm like, okay, is this a continuity error? Because in the
future, oh yeah, it's a continuity error.
That very last scene before the credits, with that stupid tiny like Inception style movement of the plastic chess piece, is it?
I mean, I think it was metal. In fairness,
it was metal chess pieces.
Someone who can control metal.
All right.
In a past life,
that tiny little nudge. Like, first off, I'm like, okay, how he got shot by like five needles?
Yeah, four.
Yeah, how is he doing this?
Yeah. Stupid.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have done that. They shouldn't have had this scene with Charles at the end. Now, I've read up what this scene with Xavier at the end actually meant. Apparently, have you read this? Apparently, Charles was able to transfer his consciousness to his identical twin brother's body.
They don't explain that very well in the movie.
Very well.
They explain, there is a brief thing that he's talking about in the classroom, like very, very subtly.
Oh, it's really bad.
It's very poorly constructed how that story goes.
And talk about continuity, like Moira MacTaggert. She's meant to be
isn't that Rose Byrne?
Yes. It is.
How much has she aged from Rose Byrne to
she's meant to be I've a forgotten Scottish this physicist name. And she becomes an American CIA agent in the next X-Men.
And as a younger version of herself.
Yeah, younger. Yeah.
And Professor X goes from James McAvoy to Patrick Stewart.
Yes. All right. Explain to me how Beast, Hank McCoy, was able to get that high up in the American political landscape.
Isn't he the Minister for Mutant Affairs?
It's stupid.
He's a doctor.
He's a secretary.
Is he?
It's like, yes, Mr. Secretary.
They're all secretaries.
It's ridiculous.
The Secretary of Defense? Is that ridiculous?
No, because it's not a mutant.
But he's a mutant who's a secretary for mutant affairs.
Why did they get someone who looks like that? I don't want to be a mutinist, but I just think. And how does someone like that become a doctor?
I, for one, don't condone mutinism.
Really? It's not what you were saying off air.
But what's with this whole Mystique gets captured? Was this the whole plan the whole time to find out where this mutant kid is? Is this what's going on?
No, I think.
Because she's not getting captured out of her, like, by choice. Like, she's not making a mistake in getting captured. She's doing this by choice, surely.
I don't think so. I think whilst trying to find out, she got captured.
Ah, yep. Because she's impersonating some of the higher-ups in the government, and they figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
She was impersonating that big black guy.
What's his name? Bill Duke?
Secretary.
The actor is Bill Duke from Predator. And Commando.
Yep, classics.
They are.
Yeah.
You're saying it like it's not.
I mean, I don't remember him, so that's fine. Moving on.
Magneto rallying the troops, all the mutants.
This is terrible. This brotherhood is almost the worst thing about this movie.
And Pyro acting like he's a fucking man.
Yeah.
It's like, oi, back off, mate. It's like, fuck you, you little dweeb.
There you go, a little fire flick going. It's like, ooh,
I got a flame on my hand.
And this whole mutant classes. Did you have an issue with this?
Oh, yeah. He's a class 5. He's a class 2. Like, oh, watch out for him. It's like Dragon Ball Z when they find the power levels. Oh, he's at 9,000.
I've never seen any Dragon Ball Z.
What?
I would not have picked you as a Dragon Ball Z fan ever.
What were you watching in the morning before school? On Cheese TV. 8 o'clock.
X-Men, the animated series.
Yeah, that was on like 7:30. 8 o'clock, Dragon Ball Z.
Pokemon.
Pokemon was 7:30, I believe. I think Batman was an X-Men and all that. What else was there? Black and Mars from Mars.
Yeah, I remember that. Dragon Ball Z.
Men in Black.
Was after all that, wasn't it?
It might have been.
I don't think Dragon Ball Z was early 90s.
It was, because I was watching it when I was going to school, like primary school.
Year 12.
Yeah.
Gotta get up early today, Mum.
No, it might have been early high school. So, yeah, probably 2000, 2001.
So, not early 90s.
Oh, it's definitely not early. But what do you?
I said early 90s, and you go, nah, it was. I was watching it when I went to school.
Oh, early 90s. Were you watching it when you were 3 and 4 years old?
Yes,
I was. TV at 3 years old?
I was.
I don't believe you.
But I don't need you to believe me.
Cool, because I don't.
All right.
Moving back to X-Men.
The Brotherhood. They need to make a stand. Humans or the mutants? Terrible.
I mean, this is the story of the film, finally. The humans versus the mutants.
I mean, isn't this the story of every film? What'd you make of this leech character?
Is that the kid?
Yeah.
I mean, he's like he's a plot device. There's nothing to him. He's there to enhance the plot.
You'd think Kelsey Grammer would walk fully towards him to see what he'd look like without
the blue.
Yeah,
we get some Fraser action going.
That'd be nice. Now we get what is easily the best scene of the movie, though. The truck.
Good scene.
It is really good.
Magneto just like crunching up the cars like they're paper.
Yep, just flick it in.
See you later.
Yep, boom, boom. Flip the truck.
I mean, he's not mucking around anymore. Those cops are dead in that car.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah. Just wish they had some blood, you know. Maybe a bit of blood.
Yeah, it would be nice.
Especially skipping a little bit further ahead with Wolverine in the forest, destroying those people with his claws. I'm thinking, that looks like Logan, but shit.
Yeah. Oh, it does, completely. It's like he's running through the forest again. And the problem is, like, this was obviously the first time, so
yeah.
He got nothing to compare it to when it came out. But now it's just like, oh, you could have been so much more.
Yes, in many ways.
Yes. Do you like the Juggernaut, bitch?
Talk about the Juggernaut, bitch. Vinnie Jones, I mean.
Terrible.
It's Vinnie Jones. That's what he does in every movie.
Yep.
He's, you know, he doesn't, I mean, his accent is exactly the same.
Works best in Lockstock.
Snatch, he's pretty good. I think he's better in Snatch than Lockstock. His character's more there. Bullet-Tooth Tony.
No, I think I actually prefer him in Lockstock with his son.
Nah, mate. Bullet-Tooth Tony is iconic Vinnie Jones.
Mm. I mean, both of them are really good.
He's basically like Danny Trejo on that. He just goes in all those like straight to DVD action films. There's so many of them.
He was in that prison football film.
Mean Machine.
Was he?
Yeah.
Actually, I think I saw it at cinemas as well.
What else is he in? There's a lot that you just don't remember.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, Mystique gets hit by the bullet.
Did not see that coming.
She's done. And that's the end. She's not the end of her because she comes back in a brief little scene where she rats out the rest of the mutants.
Is it only reference, though?
You don't actually see her? No, you do see it. You see her like a security footage or something of her making the deal.
Okay.
Very briefly. Like, I barely remember it from this. I looked and I'm like, oh, okay. Oh, that happened. I don't remember it from any other time I watched this, which was once.
Yeah. Did you like the reappearance of Xenia Onatopp?
Well, she's not Xenia Onatopp in this film.
Looks a bit like her, though.
Does it?
And she's like jumping Logan.
Oh, okay. Yeah, a little bit.
Got those killer legs wrapped around him.
She does it better in Goldeneye.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, so they go back to Jean's house here.
I didn't like this scene.
What I found funny is this hedgehog guy is terrible.
Yes.
And so is this other random person who I don't even know whose powers were. Not the one who was the fast one? No, because she's the one with like, oh, he's a number five.
Yeah.
There's another one there who I don't even know what they did. They were just there. But they're like, storm's coming at them, and Hedgehog Guy and this other rando are like, here we go, bang! And they did, like, she just blows away like they're nothing. Like, yeah, you guys are good. Even Juggernaut. Magneto tells him, don't let it
do
it. What's he do?
Bad.
Picks him up and throws him in the house. Like, good on you, mate. Good listening job.
This whole scene was bad. I thought Charles's death was bad. I don't think Magneto would react that way, to be honest.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Like, it's his best friend. Like, I know they have their difficulties, but they have a tremendous amount of respect. I did like that he did say to, was it Pyro later on?
Pyro and his dick move.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you're saying he didn't act emotional enough.
Yeah.
Okay, I agree completely. I thought you were going to say, like, he wouldn't have cared. Like, because when he's ready to blow up, he's looking like, Charles! He's screaming at him, knowing he's going to die. I thought you were thinking that he didn't act at all for it. But yeah, I agree. Like, he should have been way more emotional about this.
Much, much more emotional.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, so Professor X's funeral here, and we've got to get more of this love triangle going on here. You got Bobby basically phasing Rogue out now, you know, stroking that kitty.
Yes, he is. Right next to Rogue as well. Like, this
dick
guy
move, Bobby.
Is my odd. Oh, yeah. No, dick move, Bobby. Dick move.
I mean, just for curiosity's sake, Can't they just use a condom?
I mean, you'd probably have to tape some glider up or something.
Maybe like six condoms.
Well, it's more the area, the pubic region.
That'd be good for him. He could just ice his dick and he wouldn't be able to feel a lot. It'd be much cooler. He'd go for longer.
Would he be able to perform with an ice dick?
It doesn't have to be ice. It can be cooler. Numb.
No, maybe it should be ice. Maybe it should just be rock hard ice. I'll never go soft, baby.
Oh, boy.
We get this scene with Beast, Iceman, Logan, Storm, maybe Rogue's there. And Beast is...
Blink if you miss him, Colossus? That guy is like just the background.
Yeah, well, it's...
Apparently he's supposed to have a big, big role in this film, but they cut him down to no speaking, just sitting in the background.
He's meant to be Russian.
Well, he turns out to be Russian, yes, later on in the films.
Okay.
Oh, he has one line in this film.
Is that it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure because...
When he's carrying the TV?
Yeah, and he tells Bobby that Rogue left.
Oh.
That's it.
What about when Logan's telling him to throw him? Does he not respond?
Doesn't say anything.
God. All right. So we get all these people there and Beast is saying, oh, I guess we've got to close the school now that Xavier's dead.
God, come on. Like, I'm sure you guys can manage.
Is that not just ridiculous? And then Storm's just like, no, I can do it. Because who walks in? Someone walks
Angel.
In. Angel walks in. She's like, no, we need to keep this place open.
So, Halle Berry in acting.
Really?
I can do this.
Did you spot the Ali Ermi cameo?
I was going to say that. I heard his voice. I'm like, that has to be him.
Oh, it was him. I was waiting for him to pop up. He was in the credits.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't actually see him, though. No. It's just the voice.
Any movie that has a drill sergeant kind of role, an army type scene, you got his voice there. You know the best kind of army character that I've seen him in, besides Full Metal Jacket, obviously, is the Frighteners. He plays the ghost army guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How good's the Frighteners?
Oh, so underrated.
Oh, absolutely.
It's really good. So now we're into our third act, huge action scene.
The Golden Gate Bridge.
What is he doing? Surely there is a much, much easier way to transport a bunch of people to an island for Magneto.
Absolutely. You've seen him do it with himself, just like dragging himself along on a small little piece of metal. But he's got to be big and glamorous here. He's got to show the humans, look what I can do, motherfucker.
It was weird seeing him like act like he's struggling when he like puts his hands out. He's like,
well, he's like, a big piece of metal.
It's like, come on. What are you doing?
This scene cost about $35 million.
Wow.
About a sixth of the budget just for this one scene.
Of the bridge moving?
Yes.
What a waste.
It actually included constructing a full-scale section of the bridge that was about the size of a basketball court and then using computer graphics on the rest of the bridge and its background.
Did you find it odd that as soon as you put the bridge down, it was suddenly nighttime?
Well, it would have taken a while.
It is literally daytime, like bright as 12 o'clock in the day. Moves this bridge.
12 o'clock in the day, is it?
It is. Moves this bridge. It is pitch black.
Well, maybe one of the mutants changed the time.
No, no.
One of the many mutants we didn't see properly.
Nope, poorly done.
I'm not disagreeing with
now
you.
Now we get this stupid fight where there's six X-Men, right? Six. Two of them are metal.
Yep.
Magneto stands there and lets them fight.
Why hasn't Magneto just like squished Logan or like ripped all the adamantium out of him like he did with that security guard?
Yes.
Can he not do that?
He can.
But Wolverine would heal.
I don't think he would.
You sure?
I don't know. I'm sure it's been done in the comics.
Got a bullet to the head and that was fine.
I don't know. This is above us.
It is. But there's basically like little steps in this fight. You got them all. You got like the army guys shooting the needles at everyone.
Oh, how good was that when they were shooting the big spinny things with the needles going around? That was good. And then, of course, this chick comes up, the shockwave chick.
Oh, that's the person I'm talking about.
She just claps and all the guns break. And it's like,
why did it take you so long to do that?
Off. Like, it's just, oh, here's his problem. Here's random mutant whose power will exactly solve this problem.
And like I said, why did it take Magneto so long to do this? Like, a lot of mutants get destroyed because of this. Maybe like 5 minutes later, I may as well use it now.
It's here, we get the Kitty Pryde Juggernaut fight.
I'm the Juggernaut, bitch!
Terrible writing.
Wasn't that an actual line from something?
I don't know. And then she says, even worse, who's hiding, dickhead?
Like, oh, burn. Where's Pyro when you need him?
Oh, so the dialogue is horrendous in this film.
I did like Magneto like throwing the cars in the air and Pyro blowing them up.
Went for too long, though. Like,
yeah, it did a couple. Did a couple too many.
And even like the way he throws them in the air, it's like he's not really aiming. He's just lobbing them.
Hmm.
Why didn't he just pick one up and ram it? Like, just take one car and just squash everyone around there.
Yeah. Early when they were shooting the needles, he picked up two massive sheets of metal to cover. Just use those and like squash everyone.
Yes. Reuse them.
Yep. They're reusable. Bang, 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 bang. Squish them together like you're clapping. Unreal. And even the stupid line from Wolverine when he like kicks the guy in the nuts, grow those back.
Oh,
it's like,
no.
Come on, you're better than this, mate.
Is he though?
Do not stoop to that level. What do you think of Hugh Jackman in this film? The Wolverine, I guess. I mean,
wasn't nearly as good as in one or two.
Yeah, he's really, there's no story for him in this film. There's not enough time for his story, apparently. No.
I mean, his story is that he loves Jean Grey.
For God's sake.
Yeah.
Never felt that at all.
And he says that at the end, like, I love you.
Oh, wish he'd showed it.
You know, you got a million of these needles lying around. Is there no way he could have just stabbed her?
Yep. He used too many on Magneto.
No. Like, you could just stab her. You don't need to kill her. Just take her mutant ability away.
Yep, I agree. Many different things they could have done in this film.
But just putting it out there as well.
They chose the shittest way.
Just putting it out there as well. When Juggernaut runs towards Leech and loses his powers. Juggernaut's not actually a mutant. Just saying. He gets his powers from a magical crystal.
Okay. Are you actually doing this with this film?
Yes, this is this film's biggest
error.
You
sound like the nerd guy from The Simpsons. I don't understand why you do this in this movie.
Nerd!
Hey, buddy, do you get a little of the nerd?
Pardon me? Even this line from Magneto where Phoenix is just killing everyone. I think he's been cured by this point. And he's just like,
yes, he has.
What have I done?
The horror.
It's such poor delivery, like,
yeah.
Really bad.
A lot of people are phoning it in this movie.
This last act is terrible. Like, I know it's a big battle, but it's...
At this point, especially with Phoenix just eradicating people, like, not that I care about these other mutants, but these people have had their scenes where they've shown how deadly they can be, and you see them run out of the building, bang, they just disintegrate. Oh, that's the end of them. Just, yeah. You don't need them anymore.
Yep.
They're inconvenience. Just piss them off.
I was surprised to see Rogue actually went through with it and had her cure done.
I mean, like I said, this is the end of the trilogy. Like, they're not going anywhere with this anymore.
It's not like Iceman and Rogue are going to be together now.
No, he's with Kitty, isn't he?
They can't go to the same school anymore.
Yeah, why's she back there?
Huh.
Get out.
You're not welcome. Freak.
Now, wasn't there some sort of mini uproar that they let Rogue do that in the movie? Like
uproar from who?
The comic book nerds. I read that they were like, she would never have had that done.
Don't do that.
Moving on. No, that's
the
end.
We're done. We have talked about Magneto and we've talked about the post-credits scene. Okay.
All right, fantastic. Final thoughts. For me, this is not a good movie. It is poorly constructed. There are too many characters that go nowhere. Subplots that didn't need to be there when there should have been other subplots that should have been there. Everyone's kind of wasted in this film. It is kind of a mess. A big, big step down from X2.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with most of what you said there. Definitely a step down from X2. It's not a good movie. I don't think there's really anyone out there saying it's a great movie. It has a very, very bad reputation. I did enjoy it more than I expected to. I will say that. The first...
Didn't sound like you did.
I know. And I was actually expecting to be much more positive when taught. Maybe not much more positive, but maybe have some slithers of positivity thrown in there. Never came up, which I guess says something, but I did have some element of enjoyment watching.
I thought it was going to be a 2. It's a 2.5.
Yeah, no, exactly.
But is this your recommend 2.5, like
no,
Skyscraper?
No, I don't recommend this. This is a crap, poorly done movie, but... I have an affinity for the X-Men characters, even if they are very, very poorly portrayed. So, yeah, I do give this 2.5, but what do you do?
What do you do indeed?
You watch X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the right thing to do, but we're going to do it.
At least Gambit's in it. He is by a mile the biggest omission to this X-Men trilogy, having no Gambit.
Yeah, when I think of the animated series, I do have that image of Gambit like throwing his cards.
He's one of the main characters.
Yeah.
Like, him and Rogue are awesome together. You got Iceman, Angel, Beast. Like, everyone's been in it now.
Yeah.
Morph was a big character in the animated series that wasn't in this.
Okay. Is there a Morph in any of these films?
Whoa, not to my knowledge.
Okay. Yeah. But we will do that next week, won't we, Dean?
Yes, we will.
So, thank you very much, patrons. Once again, we will see you next week for X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Bye, guys.